Well, good morning, y'all. It is good to be with you today. Thank y'all for coming here to worship together. For those of you I haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is John Muller, and I have the privilege and joy of serving here as the campus pastor of our Capitol Hills campus. And since you're new and we haven't had a chance to meet yet, just want you to know a little bit about me. My wife and I have been married for 12 years. We've got a two-year-old little boy. He's 35 inches, 33 pounds, and is a wrecking ball. I'm having to patch holes in my walls all the time, but it's an incredible time. Love him. Love my wife. I'm originally from South Carolina. So I have been here for 8 years, serving here for 8 years. Also, I have a stutter. Now, it's not a big stutter. It's not a little stutter. It's just how God created me, all right? I will get hung up on a word up here, and I don't want you to panic. I want you to breathe easy. You don't need to call 911, all right? The way we say it around here is that if I say a word 10 times, it's because God wanted you to hear it 10 times, all right? So I've got a 15-minute sermon prepared. It's going to take me about a half hour to get through it, so let's go ahead and jump in. We're going to take a break from 1 Corinthians 16 today, and we are going to be in Hebrews 12. So go ahead and turn there. The theme of my message today is endurance. Endurance. And the writer of Hebrews, in our two verses that we're going to use today, talks about endurance in relation to running a race. He says, "And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Now, I don't know about you, but I hate to run. That imagery doesn't apply to me. I have a pear-shaped body. I do not run. And so I have runner's arms. I do not have a runner's body. And so I don't run. That doesn't apply to me. I don't know what they're running from. They walked everywhere. And so I don't know why they're in a hurry. You shouldn't be in a hurry. I don't know why some of you get up early to run. It just doesn't make sense to me. So let me use another story to demonstrate to you what I mean by endurance. A few years ago, I read this story about Ernest Shackleton, who is an explorer, and he wanted to have the first transantarctic expedition. He wanted to take a crew from England, go down to Antarctica, and traverse Antarctica from west to east. Again, I don't know why somebody would want to do that. Why do you want that to be said about you, that you were the first to do that? Antarctica's down there for a reason. We don't want it up here, right? All right, there's no reason to go to Antarctica. Let the penguins and seals have that place to themselves. But this guy went, and he took a crew of about 27 with him, and they went down to Antarctica. And as they got into the Weddell Sea, the ice pack began to freeze the ship and close in on them. So they had to abandon the ship. And as the tides and the currents moved, they moved the ship around the sea to the point that they eventually had to abandon the ship. And then they pulled three life rafts off of that ship with them. They had already eaten all of their storehouses, and so they began to hunt seal and hunt penguins, and they also began to kill the dogs that they brought with them to pull the sleds, which I didn't kill any dogs. They did, so don't get upset with me. They actually said the meat was great, and I'll take their word for it. And so they began to just survive and endure. This was also during the polar night. Do y'all know about the polar night? Let me tell you about the polar night. 6 months of darkness. So they are there. They're in Antarctica. What do they need to do? Build a fire to stay warm, right? What does fire do? It melts ice. What are they standing on? Ice. What does that do when it's heated up? Turns into water, which then puts out fires, right? And so this was every day for them. Finally, they drug these three rowboats onto an ice pack that, as the temperature began to warm, these men actually sailed ice packs. And they began to sail these ice sloughs, and they finally got close to Elephant Island, and the water warmed up enough that they could put the ships into the sea, and they sailed to Elephant Island. This is all happening in 18 months. And so they finally sail to this island. Ernest Shackleton leaves half of his crew there. He then takes five guys with him, and they go 800 miles to the Georgia Islands. They get there. They are on the wrong side of the island because it's basically just a mountain coming out of the sea. They have to climb over the mountain, which is glacier ice, so then they just slide down that, finally get to a whaling port 18 months later. Then it takes 3 more months for them to get back to his crew because the season weather were so bad. Ernest Shackleton didn't lose a man on this expedition. Nobody died. 27 men came home. That endurance that these men had, the collective witness that they had together, is what we as Christians need to have in this life. It's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about here, that endurance that we need to run the race with. I have one point today, and it is that we endure by faith together and put Jesus on display. Just so y'all get that, turn to someone around you and repeat after me. We endure by faith together and put Jesus on display. That's great. Text that to somebody, write that down, and let's get going. So Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let's also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, if we read that in here today on a bright, nice spring Sunday morning, every one of you in here would say, yes, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want that. I want to run the race with endurance. I want to aim at Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's what I want. Man, let's go. We're going to do that. Jesus is good. Let's live. But then what happens? Tuesday happens. Life happens. Your kid gets a cold, then everybody in your house gets a cold. You check Instagram and your friends look just like they did in high school, or somebody else is going on another vacation, or they got the car that you want. You find out that a friend of yours got scholarship to the school that you wanted to go to, but you didn't get that, or somebody in your work got the job and the promotion that you wanted. Your spouse leaves you. You get leukemia. You lose your job. Someone you love dies. Life happens. Tuesday happens. And it becomes really hard to live in the way we wanted to on Sunday when we wake up on Tuesday. It becomes really hard to run this race with endurance. Now, let's just think about endurance for a second. Endurance, if we were going to define that, is just the act of enduring. So let's define endure. Endure means to suffer patiently and remain in existence, to last. So let's reword Hebrews 12, 1 using that. And let us run with patient suffering the race that is set before us. And let us run with the desire to remain in existence and to last the race that is set before us. That is the Christian life, the call of the Christian life. That is what we want to be true of us on a Sunday morning. That is hard to live out on a Tuesday morning when life happens. See, endurance by definition implies resistance. Now, you don't need to endure a sunny day or a sunrise. You don't need to endure an album by Sam Cooke, The Temptations, or Boys to Men. Boys to Men, come on. You don't need to endure that. If you don't have anything to listen to today, Sam Cooke, The Temps, and Boys to Men, please. Man. And with that, you don't need to endure my wife's pecan pie. I'm from South Carolina. That is how it's pronounced. We have more pecans there than you hear. It is not pecan. It is pecan. There's no H in it, all right? You don't have to endure that. But you do have to endure pollen season. You do have to endure the DMV. You do have to endure bad haircuts. You do have to endure that UNC gave Coach K his first loss and his last loss. Duke fans, you got to endure that. And I don't know how you do it, but you do. Endurance means that we live in resistance. But see, we as Christians resist for a reason. We resist for a reason because we are convinced that where we are is not where we are supposed to be. That if something better was not waiting for us, if this is as good as it gets, then we would just quit. But we know that this is not as good as it gets. We know that we were meant for something more. We know that, like the survivors on Ernest Shackleton's expedition, that living is better than dying. And as Christians, we know this world is not our home. We know that we will not live here for forever. And we know that Jesus will come again because we know the tomb is empty. We know this by faith, by faith. Hebrews 12, 2, look back at that. It says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. We endure because we believe something better is on the other side by faith. Now, let's define faith here for a second. Hebrews 11:1 helps us do that. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. When you put hope in something, it means you are discontented with your present circumstances. If you hope to be married, it means you don't want to be single anymore. If you hope to have kids, it means you want to grow a family. If you hope for a different job, it means you are discontented with the job that you are in. We as Christians hope for something better because we see that our sin separates us from God. So we hope that we can be saved through a Savior named Jesus Christ. The reason we hope is because we are discontented with where we are. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 talks about that faith that we hope in and the Savior that we hope in. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This hope that we hope for God in is salvation through Jesus Christ. See, we all believe that Romans 3:23 is true when it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We know that we have sinned, and we know that we fall short of the glory of God. Therefore, we know that the wages of sin is death, and we know that the penalty of sin rests on us. And because the penalty of sin rests on us, we know that we will live eternally separated from God. And so what we do is not hope in ourselves and our good works. We don't hope in our religion. We don't hope in our rights and our wrongs and our successes. We hope in God, the creator of us, who is the only one that can do something about our present circumstances that we are discontented in. We don't want to remain in our sin. We want to be saved. So we hope in God. And then we put faith in Jesus Christ, who lived the life that we were supposed to live, died the death that our sin deserved, so that through him we can have eternal life. That is the gift that God offers to you today. That is the hope that we have, the hope that leads to faith, that we believe Jesus is who he says he is, has done what he says he did, and will continue to do what he says he's going to do. We believe and take Jesus at his word by faith. And that's point number one, endure by faith. We endure by faith. Now, when you believe in something, you trust in something. I'm a big Disney guy. I worked at Disney one summer. It was the greatest summer of my life. They put me at Big Thunder Mountain, and they came out to train us, and they were just like, we need y'all to say things like howdy and y'all. I'm like, move, man. We're good. Like, that's just move. That's how I talk. And so it was the greatest summer of my life. So when Aladdin came out with the live action, my wife and I couldn't wait to watch it. We did. And my favorite scene in there is when Aladdin rides in on the magic carpet. He comes to Jasmine's balcony, and he's like, hey, come on, I've got a whole new world that I want to show to you. And she was like, I don't know. Then from the carpet, he reaches out his hand, and he says, do you trust me? Now, in my mind, I looked as smooth as he did whenever I just said that, but I know I didn't. But he says, one more time, do you trust me? Jasmine then, of course, gets on carpet, and he's like, hey, don't you dare close your eyes. I've got a whole new world to see. And then they sing an amazing song, and they go on a magic carpet ride, a whole new world, right? And so what Jasmine does, though, is puts her entire body weight on the carpet. She can't say, yeah, Aladdin, I trust you, but I'm just going to remain here. No, she has to get on. She has to get on and put her entire weight on to the magic carpet. That's the same thing we as believers do in Jesus Christ. We put our entire weight, our entire existence on him and who he said he is and for who he or what he said he is going to do. We believe by faith. We endure by faith. We trust God that he has provided salvation for us. And so we trust that God is the same God that will sustain us. We believe the promises that he says in his word are true, and we can hold him to him, to them, that he will never leave us and never forsake us. That he provides for the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. How much more will he provide for us? That he has a plan for us. That he created us and knit us together in our mother's womb, that he knows us completely and loves us completely. We take him at his word, and we live our life in light of that by faith. By faith, we believe Jesus is the Savior of the world. By faith, we believe that God created us. By faith, we believe that Jesus saved us. And by faith, we endure. Now, I realize when I say faith that some skeptics and some folks might say, see, this is the issue that I have with Christianity. You just explain away the unexplainable by saying, well, it's just faith. Well, it's just some things you're not going to understand. And so you have an objection to Christianity because we base this thing on faith of a God-man, Jesus Christ, living and dying for us. And so to that, there are a lot of objections that come with faith, but one of the main ones is, how can God and evil exist? How can bad things happen to good people? And you raise this objection to faith because you were trying to reckon with, how can a good God allow evil in the world? How can bad things happen to good people? And I actually think our passage today is going to answer that and talk about that. But before we get there, I just want to leave you with one question. If you take God out of the equation, does it make the problem of evil easier? So if God doesn't exist, does it make suffering easier? If God doesn't exist, is it easier to endure your pain? And I really don't think it is. In the end, the problem of suffering in this world is complicated and tough, but it's not just a problem for those of us who believe in God. See, we have tools to walk through seasons of suffering. It actually is a bigger problem to explain suffering in a meaningful way without God. Maybe you're not convinced yet, and that's fine. Look, I just want you to hear me out. For the next 20 minutes, I'm going to try to explain this, and I would just love for you to listen in and see if this provides a better answer for you than the one you currently have. Look, by faith, we have been saved, and by faith, we endure. We have faith that God is who he says he is, and that God is going to do what he says he's going to do, and this faith is how we endure. This faith is how we continue on. Now, I'm not saying Christians can't be shaken up in doubt. We can and we should. That's fine. It's okay to be there. But what moves us from there is our faith in God. What promise of God are you struggling with today? Maybe something happened to you this week and you're like, God, where were you at on that? God, I know you saved me, but God, you're really messing up right now. What promise of God do you need to believe? Where's your faith shaken? Is it that God will never leave you and never forsake you? Is it that God created you and has a plan for you? Is it that everything in your life, though Satan intended for evil, God will turn for good? What promise of God do you need to put faith in today? What do you need to believe about him? See, by faith we are saved, and by faith we endure. And we don't have to endure alone. That's the gift that God gives us, that when he saves us into his family, a community of believers who are living and walking with God. This is point number two. We endure together. Endure together. In endurance with Ernest Shackleton, maybe if he would have had one or two guys, they would have just quit and died. But because they had 27 of them, they moved on because each and every one of them encouraged each other. Maybe you walked in here today and you felt like, I don't know about this anymore. I don't know if God is good anymore. I don't know if I can walk with God anymore. I hope today that you see the collective witness of those here and believe that God is good and believe that you can and will endure. I love that Hebrews 12:1. Let's look back at that. It says, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, since we... all of us, you and me, are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Since we are surrounded by them. Actually, the Greek here for witnesses is the word that we get martyrs from. It's the word that we get examples from. You know, and when I was heading into my junior year of high school, some men and some boys at the church I grew up in decided to hike 38 miles on the Appalachian Trail. And of course, back then, I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. I could do anything. I'm about to crush the trail. It's not that can I do it, it's can they keep up, right? And so we hit that first mountain, and man, I just blitzed up it. Got up it, no big deal, and about died. And then this 75-year-old man. Actually, he was probably the age that I am now, but he just felt that old to me at the time. And he comes walking by me. His name is Larry Long. I called him Trail Boss for the rest of the entire time. He had picked up a stick on step 2 or 3 of that first mountain and just slowly walked up every hill and every mountain. He walked by me and said, John, are you all right? I said, yes, sir. I think he said, all right then, and just kept going. He beat me every day to our campsite. He was up cooking breakfast before I woke up. He outwalked me and out-hiked me that entire time. And many times I'm at the bottom of these stairs that we have to hike up this mountain or up this cliff. And I'm like, I'm done. This is where I'm going to die. This is it. Like, somebody call my mama, tell her love her, but I'm done. Like, I thought many times it would be easier if I just rolled off the mountain, right? Like, just rolled and just took my chances with the trees. But then I would look up and I would see Trail Boss 200 feet ahead of me and go, if a 75-year-old man can do it, so can I. And I just kept going because I knew if he could do it and survive, I knew that I could do it. That's the collective witness that we have as a church. We encourage one another by saying, Jesus is worth it. Keep going. Look at those that have gone before us. Keep going. He is worth it. You know, we look back at Hebrews 11, and Hebrews 11 is affectionately referred to as the Hall of Faith. It says, by faith, Abraham did this. By faith, Moses did this. By faith, by faith, by faith. And then the author says, you know, if I had more scrolling parchment, I could write about all of these. But by faith, she and her and him, they did all of this, all of these things. And then he gets to Hebrews 11, 33 through 38, and he says, who through faith, these men and women conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves on the earth. These men and women, by faith, lived this life. Now, I want you to see there how the writer of Hebrews said, some escaped the sword and some died by the sword. We don't get to choose what end of the sword we are on, but we get to choose a Savior that we follow and trust with our lives. Now, I know that reading this in Hebrews 11, you might say, yeah, John, but that was during biblical times. He's referring all to Old Testament people there. Like, this is 2022. Like, we've got bigger things. We're not, nobody's trying to shut the mouth of a lion here. All right, fair enough. Fine. But when we look at church history, we see examples of endurance. In fact, there's a bishop in England named Hugh Latimer. Hugh Latimer was killed by Queen Mary, who's Bloody Mary. And as he was burned at the stake, he said to his ward, Master Ridley, play the man. We shall this day light such a candle that by God's grace in England, as I trust, shall never be put out. He was enduring even in death. The black church in America is a testament of endurance. The gospel that they preach and believe was the same gospel that slaveholders used to enslave them, yet they believed God was who he says he is, and he is going to do what he said he is going to do. The Chinese church, they actually call prison the pastor's seminary, and they don't trust a pastor's faith unless you have been persecuted or imprisoned for it. You know, I know all of these sound like witnesses that are just not real to us. So let me bring it down here. There's a couple at the Capitol Hills campus, Brian and Mandy Landis. Brian last year was diagnosed with a stage 4 brain tumor. Brian's in his early 40s. They've got an 8-month-old little boy. They've got 3 kids. And Mandy, his wife, sent this text to her small group this past week, and I'm using this with her permission. Duke has just told them over the past month, hey, there's not much else we can do for you, and we're praying and hoping that God would heal Brian, and we're praying and hoping that he qualifies for another clinical trial. But right now, the future seems uncertain. Mandy sent this. She said, Brian and I had always talked about how inevitably something is going to happen in your life and it's going to stop you in your tracks. And you're going to be forced to ask yourself, do I really believe what I say I believe? You have a choice to make, and then you have to prove it. And this is for sure it for us. There's no hiding it or faking it. If we truly believe that God is who he says he is and his plans are better than ours, then we can face uncertainty and justice and whatever else the world has to throw at us, knowing that the Lord has already overcome the world. And honestly, before this, I would have hoped that I could truly say that my faith couldn't be rocked, but I would have never known it if it weren't for this. And the desperation and clinging to Jesus is and will always be worth it. That is a collective witness of somebody that sits in the seats right beside you. In fact, here's another story of members from our campus that have been sent out. This is Mark and Lisa McWhites that serve as long-term missionaries in North Africa. They're a family of five that have lived overseas for almost a decade with no washer and dryer. They have to take bucket baths. There was no Bible in their language until we finally signed a contract to translate it. And the next day, they had to flee their home because war broke out. And so they literally left in the middle of the night, leaving their baby albums, leaving their wedding albums, leaving personal things of theirs and a life that they had made there. They come home and have to flee back to the States and have miscarriage numbers 2 and 3. And as of last week, they've had number 4. They finally went back overseas, and they are now back over there because Jesus is worth it, and they want to love the refugees in a war-torn country in a nearby village, hoping that Jesus would be made known. Look, the collective witness in this building of single moms is enough for you to say, if they can do it, I can do it. Because I see single moms come in here, check your kids into kids, check students in students. Come in here, breathe, and then through tears in your eyes and a smile on your face, raise your hands and worship God. I see you and you make me worship because I see how big God is to you and I want him to be that big to me. I know that there are many of you in here that I've talked to that you're in the middle of your career and have just gotten let go because they can hire a 23-year-old and pay them half less. And you were 10 years away from retirement and you don't know what you were going to do, but you say God has a plan. God is good and I can trust God with my life. Look, this is not collective effervescence. That's just a term to say, this is not where I'm trying to woo you. I'm not trying to rouse your emotions here. I'm not trying to say, yay, God, we can do it. Let's go do it for God. What I'm saying is that endurance requires resistance, and we resist comfort, and we resist the lies of the world, and we resist our own flesh to know Christ and to make him known. We believe who God is. We believe he is who he says he is, and we believe he is going to do what he is going to do. You know, the great cloud of witness is tangible for us here at the Capitol Hills campus. We say that God is good and worth following no matter what happens in this world. And so if you were feeling discouraged today, get into community. Pastor Brian said last week that you need to double down on the church. Then get into community here. Become a member of the church. Serve on one of our teams. Join a small group. Look, I don't get paid more if you join a small group. I want that for your heart because I want you to endure because Jesus is worth it. But we endure together. Endurance cannot happen in isolation. Each and every one of you in here have somebody that you need to go encourage to endure today. Each and every one of you have a place in here that we show that Jesus is worth it by the way we endure. And so I want you to find someone in your life. I have a man like this in my life that I want you to link arms with, and I want you to say, hey, I'm not going to let you fall. You don't let me fall. Let's endure. Let's roll. Because endurance doesn't happen in isolation. We endure by faith together. And point number 3, and put Jesus on display. Put Jesus on display. How do you know when you have a good insurance company? Is it the cheapest rates? Is it the lowest deductible? Is it the fanciest logo, the best commercials? What is it? How do you know you have a good insurance company? That's when disaster hits. See, if let's just pretend a hurricane came through and wiped out every home on your street, but your insurance company showed up that day, gave you a hotel, gave you a car to drive, began to rebuild your house that day. What are your neighbors going to do? They're going to come to you and say, hey, what company do you have? Hey, what insurance company do you have? Like, who are you with? They're not going to ask how much do they charge. They're not going to ask what the deductible is, what their commercials look like. They're going to want to know because of how your insurance company showed up in disaster. Life happens to Christians and non-Christians. And when life happens to Christians and we endure by faith together, the watching world takes notice. And they come to us and they say, hey, how do you have peace in pain? How do you have hope in hurt? Hey, how are you able to walk through life like this? I don't have what you have. What do you have? See, when we endure, we put Jesus on display. C.S. Lewis says, pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasure, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. One of our elders here, Mike Rapaz, his wife, Rachel, 2 months ago now, she's 35, in shape. She could literally swing from every light in this room. She owns a CrossFit gym. She's amazing. And she got sick and got sick again and couldn't recover. So on a Thursday night, she goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, you need to go to the ER. The ER runs some blood work. They're like, you need to go to Big Wake Med off Newbern. She gets there, and they're like, we're sending you immediately to Duke because we think you have leukemia. Come to find out, she's 35 years old. She's got 4 kids, and she's got leukemia. Right now, she is on her second round of chemo. And you know, one of the first things she said to me when I just said, Rach, how are you doing? She said, a lot of people better get saved out of this. She said, a lot of people better get saved from this. And what she was saying is, if I've got to die, I want them to live. I may not see my kids get married. I may not celebrate another birthday with them, but a lot of people better get saved out of this. She didn't say, I better get my life back. She didn't say what I'm going to do this summer. She didn't say what the plans that she had for her life. She said, a lot of people better get saved out of this. That's what we all need to say about our lives. That Jesus is so good that we will endure for him, and a lot of people better get saved out of this. And what's amazing is that their neighbors that they have been trying to reach come and knock on the door when Mike is home at night and Rachel's still at Duke, and they say, hey man, can we talk? They're coming to church with him. They're like, hey man, you have something that I don't have. You have a peace that I don't have. You have a hope that I don't have. I have all of this material stuff in the world, but the way you are enduring, I don't have and I can't do. Rachel says, a lot of people better get saved out of this. See, enduring doesn't happen in isolation. Part of suffering well is doing it with people. Bringing people into your suffering allows God's glory to be seen, and it spurs on all who watch it and see it to someday, when they encounter suffering, to be vulnerable and to bring people in to endure and to allow God's glory to be seen. There is somebody that you need to encourage today, and it might be you. It might be you. It might be you, and you are saying, hey, I can't endure. Hey, it's too hard. Hey, I don't know if I can go on. And you need to tell someone, help me endure. Help me endure. What I love about verse 1 and 2, let's reread them. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Because Jesus endured the cross, we can endure this life. He has endured for us. Now we get to endure with him. See, because Jesus has endured, we get to endure. All of those people in Hebrews 11 who endured, all those in church history, all of us here will soon pass away and die. But what Jesus did is he punched through that wall of death. In the end of verse 2, it says, despising the shame and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus lived. He endured the cross, defeated death, and lived, and now offers that life to you. If you have never received that life today, I want you to. I want you to talk to someone about what a peace with Jesus Christ means. I want you to talk about what hope means. That by faith, I want you to put your faith in Jesus Christ today. And for the rest of us, church, we, by faith, endure together. And together we display the glory of God. He endured the cross, so we run and live with endurance. You are not alone. Church, let's endure together. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you so much for the example of Jesus Christ, who endured the cross, despised the shame, and is alive, seated with you. That our endurance has hope because of you, Lord Jesus. Our endurance has purpose because of you. That our faith is sure because we know you and believe that you are who you say you are, have done what you say you did, and will do what you say you were going to do. And Lord, I pray for those of us in here today that are struggling. Lord, it's all of us. I pray for those that are having a hard time, those that are going through the fire, those that feel like they are at the edge of the sword. Lord, I pray that you would comfort them. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would empower them. Father, I pray that you would give them comfort and strength and peace that is not of this world. Lord, help us as a church love one another and display your glory to the world. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.